You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everyone, to a special two-episode day of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today, well, we have two episodes because we've had two really big pieces of news. Of course, late last night, early this morning, we got the news that PJ Tucker had agreed to join the Rockets for basically their remaining mid-level exception. And then this afternoon, for the second time in free agency, the Rockets have gotten an agreement with Nene, this time for good, we think, on a three-year, $10.9 million contract that will give him, well, basically $4 million a year for the next three seasons and likely end his career with the Rockets. And of course, it's great to see because Nene's happy in Houston. Of course, the fan base and the franchise, they are happy with him. It's a great fit all the way around. And then on the floor, folks, he was a tremendous asset. I don't know if he can be a starting center at this point in time because he's going to be 35 this year and there is a lot of mileage on his body. But the reality, assuming you manage him correctly, give him the occasional days off, limit his minutes to 18 or so a game, then by the playoffs, he can still be something special. And we saw it in the Oklahoma City series when the Rockets won 4-1, and I would argue that Nene was clearly the team's second best player after James Harden in that series. He was that good. He still got that gear in him. And for a team like the Rockets that's now a contender, that's what they need. That's what the Warriors and Spurs have seemingly every year with these veterans that sign on for cheap and then have another gear once they get to the playoffs. And well, with Chris Paul now joining James Harden in Houston, this is that kind of environment for other players as well. We saw that with PJ Tucker, and now we see it again with the signing of Nene. Essentially the same deal as before, but without that controversial fourth year that was subject to the over 38 rule, thus making the contract not legal, the first iteration of it that was agreed to on Friday night. But it's big for the Rockets because it secures your center rotation, Clint Capela and Nene. I say that's clearly top 10 in the league. Maybe even higher than that. If Clint Capela develops the way the Rockets want him to, you could even move up closer to the top 7 or 8 in the league. That's how good they can be, especially come playoff time when you know you have Nene's full commitment. And of course, you have more time off in between games, that kind of stuff. It's a great deal. I have no doubts that Nene could have gotten more on the open market, but he's happy in Houston. The Rockets are a contender. And this is the kind of deal that just has a way of working itself out for a true destination. As I said, we've seen it in Golden State time after time. David West of the world. We've seen it in Cleveland with Deron Williams and the guys that get bought out. Those have been the destinations. Well, right now, Cleveland's so much uncertainty with LeBron after 2018. And I think there's a little bit of the shine is off that star at the moment, given some of the off-court things we've heard about in Cleveland, the lack of David Griffin. The Warriors literally have no money at this point. So you can make an argument that the Rockets are the destination for veteran free agents that want a ring and are willing to play for less money. And I think the name, you know, it's a combination of that and his high degree of comfort already being there, having a year with this locker room, with James Harden and Mike D'Antoni's system. But the addition of Chris Paul certainly didn't hurt. And it's a great development for the Rockets because you're able to fill a huge need on your team, a second big man after Clint Capela at a bargain rate. And beyond that, you have to give credit to Nene. Cooler heads prevailed. Literally less than 24 hours after the fallout on Saturday when we learned that that first deal wasn't legal. I know it was tough to find out when you say, hey, I've got $15 million guaranteed, and then you're not going to get it. And a younger guy, someone motivated by anger or feeling slighted, even though the Rockets didn't slight him, it was a genuine misunderstanding. I've seen relationships unravel for less than that. It's easy in a league like the NBA with so many competing market forces for guys to feel slighted. And it would have been so easy for a rival team, and I'm sure some of them tried, to knock on the door of Nene's agent and say, hey, you're disrespected by the Rockets. Why don't you sign with us and we'll even give you a little more money? But you give Nene credit, even though it hurt not to get the deal that he was promised, he realized it was a genuine mistake. And not only did he re-sign with the Rockets, but he re-signed with them without taking the team's mid-level exception. If you're listening to my podcast this morning, that was the big question. The reason the first deal, 4 years, $15 million, was so celebrated with Nene, not only was he back, but everything the Rockets had to offer, the mid-level exception, everything else, was still on the table because he signed for the non-Bird amount. So the fear was, okay, since that fourth year isn't valid, there was never a doubt in my mind that Nene would come back to the Rockets, but the fear was that if he was insistent on that $15 million guarantee figure, then the Rockets would have to dip into their mid-level money, and thus it would eliminate, or I shouldn't say eliminate, but it would reduce their ability to put a quality team around him. But Nene, within 24 hours, he put this behind them. This is maturity. This is what you want a veteran in your clubhouse to be. He was able to move on. Of course, it's still plenty of money for him. We're not going to act like he should be slighted over $12 billion or 11, excuse me. But beyond that, within 24 hours to move on, because it's not just a matter of moving on, it's a matter of moving on quickly while the market is still fluid and still moving so that the Rockets can bid with confidence elsewhere on the market. And that's great of Nene, not just to take the lower amount, but to do it so quickly to give the Rockets certainty in their planning. And I've seen some folks on Twitter today say, well, why does it matter? Because the Rockets couldn't have given him the mid-level exception amount because that was given to PJ Tucker in the deal last night. And my response to that, if you haven't been paying attention, there is a way that the Tucker deal can be reconfigured into a sign and trade. And there's really, if the Rockets want to do it, there's no reason for Toronto not to play ball. It's not like Toronto and the Rockets are rivals. It's not like there's bad blood. So the Rockets, we know the non-guaranteed contracts they picked up in the last week. If they wanted to save their mid-level exception, they could trade those non-guarantees to Toronto and then essentially save their mid-level exception and spend it somewhere else on the market. So that's a scenario I think the Rockets will explore, and should they want to go down that path, I can't come up with a reason why Toronto would not play ball. So that's why Nene agreeing to the non-Bird amount again, essentially the same contract without the fourth year, is such a big deal because it gives them the flexibility with the mid-level exceptions and the non-guarantees, essentially the $11 million trade exception is how it's being described. With that, they can do whatever they want. They have full flexibility because they don't have to worry in the back of their mind of, hey, what if we need this money to keep Nene because we don't know what's going to happen with him. So they have those exceptions. And then with the PJ Tucker situation, yes, he's agreed to the mid-level amount, but they could trade the non-guaranteed contracts to Toronto in theory, give him the exact same dollars, so it makes no difference to him, and then spend the mid-level exception elsewhere. So that's why it's so big for PJ Tucker to agree early, because the Rockets, you know, there's no reason for them to commit. There's no reason for Toronto. They still have 5 days, so they can gauge the market and whether it's best to do the mid-level exception, which is the way it's being allocated now, or best to explore a sign and trade, which, again, would be pretty simple. Just trading some of those non-guaranteed, Toronto getting a trade exception out of it, PJ getting the same money. Well, by PJ and Nene agreeing early, you can now look at the rest of the market the next few days, because free agents can't sign until July 6th, and get a better sense for what you want to do. Now, as far as what direction the Rockets will actually go with this, it's complicated because with the PJ Tucker signing, whether it's the mid-level exception or a sign and trade, it doesn't matter. Simply by adding PJ Tucker, and as I said this morning, that's a great addition. That's a true 3-and-D guy, both forward spots, can even play small ball four very successfully, hits his threes. I think he'll fit like a glove. But by virtue of using that money, the Rockets are now hard capped at the apron level, which is $125 million. Right now, they have a payroll of $108 million with just 10 players under contract. That's the five starters, Chris Paul, Harden, Ariza, Ryan Anderson, Clint Capella, and then your bench right now of Eric Gordon, Jochi, Nene, Chinanu Anuaku, and who am I forgetting? Oh, PJ Tucker. Yeah, that guy. So you have 10 guaranteed contracts right now, and you got to have a minimum of 14. So essentially, you have $17 million for the remaining four roster spots. And in theory, you could have more than that, but I think it's pretty clear with the Rockets now being subject to the hard tax and they're having a very top-heavy roster, I think they're probably going to go as small as they can in terms of guaranteed money on that final roster. So you're essentially looking at $17 million for four slots. And the bare minimum for tax purposes you can have for any slot is $1.5 million per roster spot. So essentially, if you want to break it down, even if you were to, say, spend the full traded player, well, it's not really a trade player exception, but the non-guarantees, which act like a trade exception, basically salary dump, the kind of deal they explored with Amon Shumpert on Saturday in a potential Cleveland deal. Now, it looks like Shumpert's off the table. Not really a path for the Rockets. Doesn't make sense because P.J. Tucker is absorbing those minutes. But it'd be the same principle. A guy you're taking into salary cap space. If you were to take a $10 million figure like that, then the other three roster spots would be a combined $4.5 million, 1.5 times three. And that's even if you're getting young guys at the floor. So that's what you have to keep in mind, is that if you were to hypothetically use the full $11 million of those non-guaranteed in a trade like the one the Rockets explored yesterday with Shumpert, then those final three roster spots, all you could pretty much do is minimum level, slightly above that. Well, you know, a veteran contract, assuming you use one of them for the veteran's minimum for Bobby Brown, would be a little higher. So essentially, you'd be looking at three minimum spots if you use that full $11 million. Now, if you use the mid-level exception, then in theory, that's what? About $8 million a year is what's left after the small amount that's being given to Joe Chi. So if you use the mid-level exception, doing math in my head as I record that, that would be 108 plus 8 million. That's 116 million. So you would have 9 million left for your final three roster spots. That's a little above the minimum, but not much. The key thing to keep in mind with this, all of these things, it sounds good to say, yeah, let's be aggressive and use the mid-level exception. I don't expect the Rockets to be that aggressive now, and here's why. If the Rockets are able to eventually acquire that third star, Carmelo Anthony, I've discussed. Paul Millsap still hasn't signed, doesn't seem to have that much serious traction anywhere. In theory, you could have a sign and trade potential with him, with Ryan Anderson going to a third team. As I've said plenty of times, the key to unlocking a third star for the Rockets is to move Ryan Anderson somewhere else. Well, folks, Ryan Anderson only makes $19 million. So if you acquire Carmelo, he's at 24. If you acquire Paul Millsap in a sign and trade, my bet is that he'd be starting it in at least the low to mid 20s. So the point of this is to show that if you trade Ryan's guaranteed contract, in essence, for Carmelo, Millsap, another forward like that, that's also going to add $5 million to your payroll right there. So if you go out and immediately spend the mid-level exception or trade for a salary dump, such as the Shumpert deal, now I know the Rockets aren't going to go after Shumpert now that they have P.J. Tucker, I'm just using that as an example, then it would get really hard, if not impossible, to keep the roster as currently constructed and then make a move, an upgrade of Ryan to a higher salary guy, the type of third star we're looking at, Carmelo, Millsap, etc. So for now, it's nice that the Rockets have that flexibility because they might use it down the road, but I expect the Rockets to be patient because they can't go out and aggressively spend that money if they want the option of upgrading Ryan Anderson into that third star that we've talked about so much over the past week. I think the Rockets will be patient seeing what the market is for Ryan, and of course, also monitoring if Paul Millsap might be interested, and of course, Atlanta's willingness in the sign and trade, also what's going on with the Knicks and Carmelo. I would expect the Rockets for that to be their priority right now rather than other mid-level or salary dump type players, because if you can get a third star, you need to save your salary cap flexibility for that. And with the hard cap, the Rockets have options, but they have options to a point, and that right now, again, $108 million and 10 players. So essentially for your remaining four roster spots, you can only have $17 million combined. So while you do have the mid-level and those non-guaranteed contracts, you can't just go irresponsibly because that hard cap, it's not a matter of Les Alexander not being willing to pay it. By the way, it's $118 million, just $10 million more until the Rockets hit the luxury tax. But I think it seems pretty clear that they're willing to pay the luxury tax. And thank goodness for Les Alexander, one of the better owners in sports, for his willingness to do that. But that 125 figure is non-negotiable. So essentially, with an A in the fold, you now have $17 million for four roster spots. So you've got to be patient with your remaining shopping. Now, the good news is that even if they aren't able to swing that deal for a third star, then the fact that you have the mid-level exception, or if you have, say, if you just sign Tucker with the mid-level money and then you keep the non-guaranteed contracts for a future trade, because you have those contracts, I mean, not those contracts, those exceptions, or, well, I guess contracts in the case of the non-guarantees, but because you have those options, that's the word I'm looking for, you can still be in the market later. And the good news for the Rockets, this free agent class is not moving as fast as last year's did. I think a lot of players saw the money that got handed out last year and expected deals to be just as rich. In general, this year it's been a little slower. Owners haven't been willing to spend as much, but I think, A, there's a sense that there was some overpaying last year on the league market, and B, the fact is the salary cap is actually projected to go down a little bit in the years ahead. So whereas last year you'd say, hey, this deal, even if it feels like a lot now, well, imagine the salary cap's only going to go up in a year. Well, now you're looking at it actually going down a little bit in the years ahead. So teams have to be more responsible. And so I do think the market's going to go on a little bit deeper into July than it has in the past. The other thing is that the Rockets with Chris Paul and James Harden, and we've seen what's happened in the last 24 hours with PJ Tucker and Nene, this is going to be a hot spot for veterans. Any veterans that slip through the cracks or veterans that, well, they might get offers from the likes of the Kings, Brooklyn, whoever, but really want to win, they would jump at the chance to come to Houston. As I said, based on financial constraints, this is probably the best opportunity because they can't get that same money in Golden State or Cleveland. And, well, in Cleveland, I'm not really sure if that's a better destination than Houston right now anyway, given some of the off-court turmoil and the rumors we're hearing with LeBron. But either way you want to spend it, Houston's the number two or number three destination in the league, and the number one, the only one that's clearly ahead of him, Golden State, has no money. So Houston's in a great spot. So if they don't get that third star, if they aren't able to make Carmelo or Paul Millsap or anything like that work, then with either the mid-level exceptions or the non-guaranteed whatever's left after PJ Tucker, then in mid to late July, they can still go in and add one of those guys at the mid-level exception and or the non-guaranteed, and still fortify that rotation. My point is, I just don't think they're going to do it now, because for now, with only $17 million left for those four roster spots, there needs to be a premium on that third star search, especially with, in theory, there's a lot of potential for Ryan Anderson to become more movable now that the first wave of free agency is drying up a bit. And so I think that's what they need to do the next few days. That's going to be their imminent focus. Because right now, there's no glaring holes in the rotation. In theory, you could say, well, they don't have a backup point guard. But the reality is that we've already heard them say that either Chris Paul or James Harden is going to be on the floor every minute of every game that those two play. Now, granted, over the course of 82 games, I'm sure both will rest from time to time. Chris Paul, at age 32, you should definitely do it. And after the way James Harden seems to struggle a little bit with fatigue, especially in the playoffs, we heard Mike D'Antoni express a willingness to at least be open to the concept. So in theory, it'd be nice to have a backup point guard if there's an injury, because Chris Paul has had a share of random hand injuries, that kind of thing, or if you just need to rest. But right now, game one, I would say that every minute is spoken for, because you have your starting five, and then Eric Gordon essentially is going to get the remainder of the guard minutes, because whenever Chris or James sits, the other's going to be a point guard. So Eric Gordon's going to absorb all of those minutes at shooting guard. Then you have PJ Tucker getting swing minutes at both the three and the four spots. And you have Nene as your backup center. So there's your lovely eight-man rotation that we know Mike D'Antoni prefers. And if he needs more than that, then of course Jochi, Chinadu Onuwaku are waiting in the wings the same way Sam Decker and Montrezl Harrell were this past year heading into training camp. So rotation pretty much set. You could go to war with what you have right now. Now, I don't think they're done by any stretch, but the reason I say that is to emphasize that there's no need to just go out and spend just to spend. The Rockets, their depth is fortified after keeping Nene and then adding PJ Tucker. You feel pretty good about going to war with what you have, and they could honestly be a 60-win team just with the guys in the fold already if they get good luck with health, chemistry, all those types of variables. For the Rockets, at this point, it's about quality over quantity, and that means exploring the market patiently the next few days, see what shakes out with some of your higher value targets such as Carmelo, Paul Millsap, etc., etc. And conveniently, also, PJ Tucker doesn't sign until the 6th, so while you're doing that, you can also wait to see what happens with that, and if maybe you need a couple of non-guaranteeds to package with Ryan in a deal for one of these other guys, then yeah, it's all the more obvious to use the mid-level money for PJ Tucker. So it gives you a little more clarity on that front, but the bottom line, that's what happens in the next few days, and the Rockets will patiently probe the market for some of your bigger name options. And then if we get a week or so from now, and there are other variables at play, Millsap, of course, He's been in serious talks with Denver, it sounds like. Let's say he signs there. And then with Carmelo, it sounds like Houston is a front runner, but also we've heard about Boston and Cleveland potentially being in the works. Can't ever count out Cleveland with LeBron potentially doing something. And Boston, I don't think they're interested in Carmelo now, but if they get shot down by Gordon Hayward, maybe they panic. And with some of the concerns we've heard about Carmelo moving that far away from his family, Boston, of course, is a lot closer to New York than Houston is. You can't count them out. So if for some reason things go south in the next week on the bigger name fronts, then because of Nene's selflessness, then the Rockets will still be able to go back to some of these veterans in a week or so with either the mid-level exceptions or the non-guaranteeds and try and work out a deal then. So in my opinion, that's where we are as we sit on the evening of July 2nd. The Rockets have accomplished the things that were first on their agenda, in my opinion, which is to bring back Nene, fortifying the backup center spot, and then you've got those minutes filled at the backup wing spots. You've added another, well, not backup wings, more three and four, and it's kind of a wing, of course, in the Mike D'Antoni system, but you've got the reserve forward spots covered. You've got another defender in there that you can trust after Trevor Ariza to guard wings. So the Rockets, they've got their rotation covered. They could go to training camp with what they have right now. Of course, they add a couple more minimum guys and feel really good about the team they have. So right now, yes, the Rockets, thanks to Nene, they do have several options going forward, but there's no need to act this soon. For the Rockets now, I don't really see anyone on the market that you can just throw in at the mid-level and say, wow, that's going to upgrade our rotation. Because again, those five starters, and then off the bench, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, Nene, the guys on the market that you could add for the mid-level exception or for, say, $10 million in salary dump, those are not going to be better than any of those three guys. You are, or the any of the five starters, same logic applies. So you're not, you know, depth is always nice, but there's no reason to make a move just to make one if there's no obvious path to minutes. This is a situation that screams, again, quality over quantity. And so as we go into the night on July 2nd, that's where I expect the Rockets' focus to be. They've been active the first 2 days because they did have some needs, thankfully, with PJ Tucker and bringing back Nene. They've done that. And of course, while they did a lot of their work before free agency with the move for Chris Paul via trade last week. But right now, I think things will start to calm down with the Rockets. I don't expect to see them as active in the rumor mills in terms of them having meetings with so-and-so. I think the immediate needs have been filled. And from here on out, I think it's going to be quiet stuff behind the scenes. Bigger things, but you may not hear the meetings of, say, the Rockets. They had this call with CJ Miles like they did on Friday night. And that's the type of things that agents always leak because there's no reason not to. No, at this point, I think it's feeling out bigger picture things behind the scenes, primarily with moving Ryan Anderson, the potential of bringing in an upgrade at the four spot, Carmelo, Paul Millsap, etc., and seeing if that's feasible. So it's one of those things, Daryl will probe the market behind closed doors, and if and when something's ready, that Woj bomb will drop on Twitter. So just stay tuned. But for now, like I said, the Rockets have done the hard stuff. They've gone out and addressed the immediate needs, and now, well, we just wait. So, with that said, I'll wrap up this second Sunday episode of Locked On Rockets. As always, appreciate you guys for listening. I'm Ben DuBose, your host. You can follow me on Twitter, at Ben DuBose. This is Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. Follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Rockets. And also email the show, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program for you, the diehard Rockets fan. Also, don't forget, if you're not subscribed to us already, we've had, what, 225-plus episodes, and now our full year. Now this July, we have been going for a full year. And if you haven't subscribed, please do. iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, Google Play, TuneIn, pretty much wherever you subscribe to your podcast, just search for Locked On Rockets. Hell, search for any NBA or NFL team across the Locked On Podcast Network, and you can find great daily coverage. As always, appreciate you guys for tuning in. Hope you guys enjoy the remainder of the 4th of July holiday. And I'll be back with you talking more in the coming days if and when we hear about some of these bigger rumors and what the next steps are for the Rockets. For now, enjoy the fact that you've bolstered your rotation. You've added PJ Tucker. Nene is officially back in the fold. Be happy, Rockets fan. It's been a great weekend, and hopefully things get even better in the next couple of days.